Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Lord, open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word, not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord, we'll listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22 from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Barsheth, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Oh, what God wants us to understand and how God wants us to grow us in Him. It's very important to see what God did for His people and what God can do for us. While God was doing something substantial for them, how they forfeited, and that is a caution for us. We need to be very careful in our spiritual walk with the Lord and never let the enemy come in even for a second. And never take our eyes off of Jesus Christ even for a second. That our walk with the Lord may be a steady walk. That's what God is looking for. When you look at the way people fell miserably, people gave in to delusion. Suddenly, as the enemy came in a very sly manner, God wants to expose all the traps of the enemy so that our church can really be alert and grow strong in the ways of the Almighty God. So, as the Lord would lead us in God's ways to study about specific kings that the Lord would have us to. We saw, Uzziah, Thursday. God is going to lead us into the life of Uzziah again. And so we're going to see from Uzziah's life how in 2 Chronicles and in 2 Kings, God wanted me to actually take a look at both and have us hear from the Holy Spirit what God has for us to hear as we read both together. So when the Lord leads, we'll do that. And then God also will speak to us from the life of Asa, the life of Manasseh, and important kings, the ones who really gave themselves over to the Lord and the ones who completely abandoned God. So what caused these people to act the way they did, behave the way they did, and what caused them to completely move away from the living God or completely abandon their faith? Because all these were the great-great-great-grandchildren of those who were rescued from Egypt. And what actually made them completely depart from the living God is something that we have to study as the Spirit of the Lord will bring to us. So today, this morning, the Spirit of the Lord has brought to us Josiah. So we're going to study Josiah's life as the Spirit of the Lord will speak to us. So we see in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, Josiah was only 8 years old. So he is much younger than Uzziah that we saw on Thursday. Josiah is 8 years old when he begins to reign. So, very young, and we see the number 8 stands for new beginning. God actually had his hand over Josiah. Obviously, there was someone in his life who had a very strong influence in a positive way to lead him to the Lord when he was so young. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Barsheth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. This is a very important verse, verse 2. You can underline it, mark it, highlight it, just for you to know that there's another human being who really did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. And he did not turn to the right or to the left. Is it possible to live that way? Absolutely. So we have to have this in mind that, you know what, I can follow Jesus without turning to the right or to the left. I can be faithful to God. I can follow Him all the way through. And whatever God has given to me to do, when I place my trust in God, knowing that whatever He says, I will do it, then He gives me the grace to do it. So the grace comes from God, obedience comes from us, and to accomplish what God wants me to do, which is to fully obey Him, the grace is given by God again to us. So it is such a beautiful work of God's grace in us. He causes us to will and to do His good pleasure, and with His working in us, we work with Him by obeying Him. And when we say, Lord, I'm obeying, and we take the steps to obey Him, He gives us the grace again to fully follow through with what decisions we've made towards the Lord. Now, while this is taking place, Satan will always come, and he will try to do everything he can to derail the plan of God for our lives, bringing suspicion in our minds, bringing negative thoughts, bringing thoughts that are not true about God, about God's people, confusion. He can bring all those things in less than a second if we would take our eyes off of God and give heed to the voice of Lucifer. So it's very important for us to understand, while God is working, while He is working in us, causing us to will and do His good pleasure, while we want to do His will, you know, that's why each one of you are here. That's why I'm here too. And when we have that will and the desire, the enemy will come and he'll say, oh, you know what, you're very tired today. Or, you know what, you're very hungry today if you're fasting. Or, you know what, you're very weak today if you're fasting. Or, you know what, you cannot get up today, so you can't pray. You can pray some other time. Or, you know, he'll give every excuse in the book, which may be very legitimate, so to speak, because our body can feel tired. Our minds can feel tired. You know, we may feel like we need a little extra sleep. Or we may feel like, you know, I won't be able to function like this. And we can feel all those symptoms. Symptoms doesn't mean that it's real. We have to understand that. We have to be able to differentiate between the attacks of the enemy and what we really want to do before God. We need to really understand what are we trying to do while we are walking this Christian walk. When the enemy tries to come and attack us, attack our bodies, attack our minds, emotionally attack us, mentally attack us, financially attack us. Attacks are the ways in which Satan will try to come to drag us down. So when we understand, okay, attacks are attacks of the enemy, but these are not real. When you say real, what God is doing is real. Whatever the enemy is doing, those are called attempts of the enemy. The attempts of the enemy can become successful attempts when we give power to the enemy, when we feed that negative thought, when we feed whatever the enemy is trying to do, we feed that, whether it's pain or whether it's anxiety, whether it's negative words, whether it's suspicious thought, whatever the enemy will try to sow. He will try to sow, but unless your mind is a fertile ground, your heart is a fertile ground, it will not land on it. If your mind and your heart becomes like brass, that seed is not going to prosper. But if it's like a concrete that is cracked and has a little bit of soil, then that seed can land and it can take root and it can actually go through whichever gap that is there, and it can cause the little crack to become wider and your ground becomes unstable. But we have to understand that God is working, but at the same time Satan will come and he'll look for that tiny crack. That's all it takes, tiny crack. So our eyes should be wide open to the things of God at the same time, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. watching and praying are two important things that we need to have constantly, because our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion looking to see whom he may devour. So watching and praying is essential. It's not something that's optional. It's essential. When the enemy tries to work through our bodies or through the minds or through the feelings or through the circumstance of something breaking down, or all of a sudden you feel like you're going to drop. And so when we see the attacks of the enemy, it's very, very important to understand, oh, okay, that means God is working. Something significant is taking place, and the enemy is coming with full force, and I should not give in to the attacks of the enemy. So while God works, Satan will work also. I want to repeat that. While God is working, Satan will work also. You know, that's what war is, right? When one side declares war, then the other side gets ready to fight, and both sides fight, and that's what you call war. It's never going to be one side fighting. So when the kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of darkness will put up a fight. When you understand, okay, this is what is happening, we have to arm ourselves with the weapons of God. Arm ourselves with the armor of God. Arm ourselves with everything that God has given. Now you look at Josiah when he was little, the word of God went into him. There was somebody in his life. We saw in Isaiah's life also how God had, you know, a prophet, someone who was in the word, someone who was right with him, who invested in his life, and he took everything that was given to him and followed it, and thereby became a very successful king, until he felt that, you know what, I don't need to listen, I can do my own thing. And that's when fall came, as the Bible says. So in Josiah's life, God had somebody in his life where, as a young child, his faith was strong, and he was a child who obeyed. So when you read these things that God says in his word, like you see in verse 2, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, we have to put a little side note over there. He obeyed. He obeyed. Every time we obey God, we're doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So obedience is very, very important. Obedience is not optional. Obedience is necessary. The Bible says a wise child will obey, will gladly obey, will be quick to obey. So when we have the wisdom of God, which comes from the fear of God, then we will quickly obey. Write this down. When you have the fear of the Lord, when you give yourself over to the fear of the Lord, the healthy fear that we need to have, then we will be quick to obey. Obedience is very important. So you see Josiah over here, he had that healthy fear of the Lord, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was obedient to the word of God, and he walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He was someone who loved God and feared God. To fear God is to love God. To love God is to fear God. So both of them, when you look at it, loving God and fearing God, are inseparable. So it goes hand in hand. Someone can say, oh, I love God very much, and, you know, go and do everything opposite. They are called liars. You can call them spiritual liars. So we have to be true to our conviction, true to our commitment to God. You look at Josiah. Josiah's life was a life that was pleasing to God. He did that which was right in the sight of God, and God has recorded this in his word, that he did everything that was right before God. And he walked just like David. When David was doing good, how he walked with God, just like the Josiah was like David also. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered to the people. So God is actually moving here through his people to tell Josiah what he has to do. I want to read this again, verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord. God is moving here in a very unique way, where Josiah had a heart after God, and he had God's counselors there with him, and whoever was leading Josiah was influencing him to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And one of the things was to do the work of God there in the lives of the people that were there by bringing the word of God back to his nation, the word of God back to the heart of his people. And you see here that verse 4 says, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered for the people. There's work that is going on there, which is a work that was ordained by God through the people of God that God has placed there. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. House of the Lord has to be emphasized here, because it was not something that he was doing for his palace. It was not something that he was doing for his own sake, but the focus was the house of the Lord. See, that reverence has to be there when it comes to the house of God. You know, sometimes people say it's not about the building. It is true, it is not about the building. But you know what? When God's people come together in a place, that building actually becomes a sanctified place. So the building becomes important too. So what you do in the house of the Lord is very important. What you speak, how you conduct yourself when you come to the house of the Lord, what you do in the house of the Lord inside the building is very important. More important than that is what you do with your body, which is the temple of God. So the house of the Lord becomes the house of God when every single believer enters in, because those are temples of God that are coming together. When they all come together, now you have a one big temple. And the physical location really becomes very important there. Not because it's just a location, but it's a consecrated place where consecrated people have come together. So it's very important. And so, now, jobs are given, responsibilities are given, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Very, very important. Very similar to what the Lord spoke to us a few days ago about how Elijah, before fire came from heaven, the first thing he did was repaired the altar that was broken down. Repairing the breaches of the house is very important. In order to repair something, you need to see what is broken down. If we don't see that which is broken down, then we're never going to fix it. God is speaking to your hearts this morning. It's very important to take a good look at yourself, a thorough assessment before the Lord, having the Spirit of God to examine us. You see, it's not about we examining ourselves. If we try to examine ourselves many times, we can really justify every wrongdoing. I did this because, I did that because. See, anytime that because comes, it's not an honest confession. And that won't be really forgiven. Because we are not really saying what we did as we did, but we're just trying to bring every excuse in the book to justify our action, and that will not be counted as true repentance before God. True repentance is honestly coming before God and saying, Lord, I've sinned, just like the prodigal son did. I've sinned before heaven, I've sinned before God, and I've sinned before you, Lord, like David did, before you and before you have I sinned. And so that true confession will open the way for true forgiveness from God, receiving true forgiveness from God. So repairing the breaches of the house, when you look at your own life, it is very important to look for that little crack that is there. See, we can superficially take a look at a house and we can just say everything is fine. But when you really call someone who has eyes to see, they will immediately spot out, you know what, the hinge over there on the door is not right. And you know what, there's a crack by the window. That's why you call other people, right? When you want to really evaluate a house that is really losing a lot of heat or bringing a lot of heat inside, the AC is not working, you're going to see where the leak is. Very important. You know, the air conditioner is not working, centralized AC is not working, and everything is fine with the equipment, then they have to check the line that is on the inside. A regular homeowner cannot do that. You call a professional, they come in and they bring their tools and they send something, you know, through those pipes to detect where the leak is. The pipes are hidden all the way inside the house. Only the Spirit of God can really detect the cracks and the leaks that are in our lives, if we are willing to have Him examine our lives and say, God, look into my soul. Big sin comes from a big mouth. Very important. Our mouth must be consecrated to God. The less you speak, the less you're prone to sin. The Bible says, Jesus said that. When you speak, make sure, get very careful with what you speak. Because every word that we speak, we will be held accountable before God. Every word, every vain word that we speak. So our words are very important. What we speak is very important. People think, oh, it's cool to just ramble on and on and on. People think that it's cool to joke around. It's really foolishness of this age. But even mature people who are supposed to be mature, I should say, act very immature. You know, they want to look young, so they act young, so they sin greatly with their mouth. We have to be very careful. Doesn't matter who thinks what. We are going to stand before God one day. If we have broken down walls and broken down doors and doorknobs and our structure is not good, we will not be able to stand. We will not be able to stand. The house is one house that is not protected. Imagine your roof is leaking. Imagine your windows are not strong. Imagine your door is not strong. Imagine your lock is not working. Imagine your foundation has cracks in it. Your house is not going to really be a house that is livable. It's going to have major problems. God is speaking to our hearts today. It may look like a house on the outside. It may look like everything looks nice. But it really takes eyes to see, to examine ourselves in the presence of God. Have the Holy Spirit examine us. He's a professional of all professionals who will come and give a thorough evaluation. What we need is a thorough evaluation, not a false evaluation. Do I look good? I look good. Fine. There are people who like compliments, who look for compliments. Compliments will come our way if we don't look for compliments. And those will be genuine compliments when it comes to the genuine working of the Holy Spirit. But that shouldn't affect a person's attitude or performance. Write this down. Compliments shouldn't affect the way you perform before God, the way you live before God. An external force shouldn't have any impact on your internal soul. Your internal soul has to be so steady, whether you get compliments or whether you get remarks that will really try to weigh you down. It shouldn't put a dent on your soul if your soul is really strong. We look at a big mountain. A person's stones thrown at that mountain is not going to have any impact on that mountain. You can take a hammer and try to, you know, chip here, chip there. Only the hands of that person who's trying to bring that mountain down with a hammer is going to hurt. God is speaking to our hearts today. If our inner strength is stronger than the external force, then the external force will have no impact on your inner man. God wants you to get strengthened on the inner man daily, where the external force will have no value or no effect on your internal soul, your inner man on the inside. Repair that which is broken, the Holy Spirit says. Whatever is broken, in order for you to find out what's broken, you need to go to the Spirit of God. Ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Is something getting you agitated? And that's a crack right there. Is something getting you upset? That is the crack right there. Is something getting you angry? That is a crack right there. whatever is causing you to lose your peace, that is your crack right there. Don't look at X, Y, and Z saying that all you people are bothering me. Are you being bothered by them? Then you have a crack right there. Nothing should offend you. Nothing should bring you down if you are steady on the inside. And that is where strengthening needs to take place. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your hearts this morning. Repair that which is broken on the inside. Repair that which is broken on the inside. What kind of a work is taking place in your house? Josiah came and he said, let's get to work. Because he feared the Lord and he loved the Lord and his focus was right. God is asking you this morning, where is your focus? Are you getting to work? Are you doing that which is needed to build your inward structure, the temple of God that is on the inside? Or are you concerned more about everything else around the temple, but not the temple itself? God is looking for people who will keep their eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, look at me. I want to be a temple that has nothing broken. I don't want to have any crack in my foundation. I don't want to have any gap in my door. I don't want to have any creaking noise coming from my door. I don't want to have anything, Lord, that has any blemish. Jesus, work in me. Jesus, bring it to the surface so that it can be fixed. That should be the prayer of every believer every single day. Sometimes people pray all those prayers, but you know what? They really don't work. They will see the Spirit of the Lord will bring it to them. You know what? 1, 2, 3, 4, he'll have a big checklist. And he'll say, you know, all these things need to be done. But the excuse of the believer would be, I have no time. I know, Lord, I have all these areas that need to be fixed, but I have no time. So I'm going to leave all these things and take care of the other things. God is speaking to our hearts today. Take care of your business, your heart, which is your main business, which should be your main business. Your body, which is a temple of God. Your soul is a temple of God. Your mind is a temple of God. As a human being, as a total person, you are a temple of God. And when you understand that your soul is important, your spirit is important, and your body is important equally, all three are important because you cannot separate them. When you separate one from the other, it becomes dead. God is speaking to our hearts today. What do you have to do in order to fix your temple? What do you have to do in order to repair the house of God that God has given to you? He made you a living soul. A soul that must stand before God one day. May God speak to our hearts today. Take care of your soul. Take good care of your body. Take good care of your mind. What goes into your body is very important. What goes into your soul is very important. What goes into your spirit is very important. Everything can affect. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, can affect your body, your mind, and your soul. In a negative way or in a positive way. What is your inspiration? What inspires you to do what you're doing? What inspires you to speak what you're speaking? What inspires you to think what you're thinking? The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. What is the driving force? What is the driving factor? What is it? What is it God is asking you today? What is causing you to behave the way you're behaving? Are you triggered by someone? Are you triggered by something? Are you triggered by your surroundings? Are you triggered by people? Are you triggered by what others are saying? Is it so important that you need to defend yourself and say 10 different things in order to prove yourself? Think about these things. If it comes to that, then it clearly shows that you are very easily affected by your surroundings. God is speaking to your heart today. Take care of your temple. Take care of your mind. You know how you take care of your mind? You take it to the only one who can fix it. God Almighty. Tell him, Lord, strengthen my mind. Lord, strengthen my body. Lord, strengthen me emotionally. Lord, strengthen me to the extent that nothing will affect me. Nothing should affect you. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. When the word of God becomes our priority, when the Spirit of God is allowed to move in us freely through the word of God, then there's a sanctification process that takes place. That is the working of the Holy Spirit, where he comes and he sanctifies on every level. God becomes our priority. His word becomes our chief goal. And we will be willing to do whatever God is telling us to do. Remember, our life is very brief on earth. The time that we have on earth is very brief. We're only passing through. None of our relationships matter at the end of the day if we have not built it based on the word of God. It's not going to stand. If we truly love our neighbor, we will give them the word of God. If we truly love our spouse, we'll make sure they walk in the ways of God, not by force, but by representing Christ before them accurately. I'm going to repeat this. Forcing someone to know Jesus is going to turn them away. That is not God's way. But showing the love of God to them through Christ, the nature of Christ manifesting through you, will draw them to Jesus Christ. I want to repeat this. Forcing someone into the ways of God is only going to turn them away, because God's way and his method is free will, choice that he gives to every human being, whether they want to choose him or not, whether they want to choose heaven or choose hell. However, the goodness of God leads one to repentance, the Bible says. When we follow the ways of God and adopt the principle of overcoming evil with good, and showing the righteousness of God by doing good to those around us, that good will overcome the evil that is there. That good will stand up as a light, as Jesus said, men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May God speak to our hearts this morning. Whatever you may be going through, if you have burden for your unsaved family members, unsaved friends, unsaved relatives, co-workers, whoever it may be, there's nothing more powerful than the love of God. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. If you will truly love God, God will be in every conversation of yours. You cannot have a conversation leaving out God. You cannot have a conversation without mentioning the word of God. See, can you talk without breathing? You can't. That's how it is. To those who make Jesus Christ their life, they cannot talk without talking about Jesus. That's the mark of a real believer, a genuine believer, the one who would really make it into the kingdom of heaven. Our meat should be to do the will of God and to finish it. Our focus should be eternity. Our life on earth should revolve around living for eternity. Our focus should be Jesus Christ. Our life on earth should revolve around doing the will of Christ and to finish it. When we do that, we would represent Jesus Christ accurately. When our focus is not on Jesus, and our focus has turned inward, which is us. You know, when you've seen some trucks on the outside, they'll say, rate me. How is my driving? Someone else has to give that assessment. For us, God has to give it. God has to give that evaluation. That's number one. Secondly, those around us will have to give that testimony that these are the children of the Most High God. Now, people can say a whole bunch of things. They said, when Jesus was before Pilate, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. And does it mean that Barabbas was better than Jesus? No. So people can actually chant and say all they want to say. But our testimony has to first come from God. And the testimony of the people should match the testimony that comes from God. Very important. Understand this. We can have the whole world to be our friend, and we can have the whole world to praise us, saying that, oh, we've never seen an apostle like this. We've never seen someone like this who brings all religions together, all faith together. Oh, what a, you know, person of love. Something is wrong with that picture. Because truth will always divide. It'll separate the wheat from the chaff. It'll separate light from darkness. However, when truth stands, it stands alone. Heaven stands with it. And along with truth, and the one who stands for the truth, there will be a group of people who would also choose to stand for the truth. And that will be true testimony. So the testimony that comes from God and the testimony that comes from man is very important. If the testimony doesn't come from God and the testimony is only from man, that testimony can be discarded because it is not an accurate testimony. So each one of us, when we stand before God every day, every morning, ask the Lord to examine you. It's not about how many people will write a pastor review about me. It equals zero if the Lord would say, you're not walking right before me. So it is very, very, very crucial, very crucial to have God say, well done. At the end of the day, at the end of half a day, at the end of every hour, our life should be pleasing to God. Josiah was a man, God said, who walked in the ways of God. He walked in the ways of God. He did not depart from the ways of God. And he was someone who did not turn to the right or to the left. The ending should be noted. We will look at it a little later. It grieves me many times when you see people start really well, do really well, and all of a sudden, they miss the mark. We will look at it later. But for today's purposes, as long as he did well. God is speaking to our hearts today. We don't want to be like those who did well and fell away. We really want to be with the people who did well and ended well, like Samuel, like Daniel, like Joseph, like Apostle Paul, like Apostle John, like John the Baptist, the prophet, like Elizabeth and Zechariah, the priest, and his wife. Many, many, many people, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob. Once they ran without turning back. As we study the lives of the kings, many who started well, who had a good middle, who missed the mark, we will understand the importance of living a consistent Christian life. It is something that we cannot live without. Understand. consistent Christian life is something that is necessary to shine for Jesus, necessary to enter into heaven, necessary, it is necessary. Because our boss, our Heavenly Father, should approve of what we do, should approve of what we say, should approve of what we think. When you think about it, somebody can say, oh, I don't know if I can live this Christian life. If you try to do it on your own, you won't have that strength because the forces of darkness is much stronger. But if you have given your life over to Jesus Christ and the seed of Christ is in you, then you have greater strength than the powers of darkness. It's a matter of choosing what you're going to allow to work in and through you. Very important. The power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in every believer through the seed of Christ that is in us when we are born again in the family of God. It is important to realize what God has put in us and to put it to use. That means He's given me the power to choose that which is right. He's given me the power to live just like Jesus Christ. His seed is in me. If you don't realize that, then we are going to always cry, I'm not able, this life is hard, I can't do it. We can't do it if we don't have Jesus inside of us. But if we have Jesus Christ inside of us, then we can do all things. Because the one who is inside of us will strengthen us on a continual basis. May God speak to us this morning. Repair your broken down walls. Repair the breaches of your house. Repair the house of God that is in you. You are the temple. Repair everything that needs to be repaired. Repair your language. Repair your thinking. Repair your mannerisms. Repair your attitude. Repair your desires. Repair. Let it be conformed to the desires of God. Repair that which is broken. If you call yourself a child of God, then your words should reflect your Savior. Your attitude should reflect your Savior. Your thinking should reflect your Savior. Your mannerisms should reflect your Savior. Don't you have the seed of Christ in you? Very important to activate your faith. It's very important to believe what God has said, that yes, His seed is in me. Yes, it is in me. It's very important to be in the presence of God so that the strength of God can be multiplied in a double, triple, manifold manner. God is speaking to our hearts today. Repair that which is broken down. Don't say, I don't have anything that's broken down. Go to the Spirit of God and ask Him, Father, examine me. Show me what is broken down. Show me where the crack is. Show me where the leak is. Show me, Lord. The houses that are not checked properly, you know, there are some homes where there'll be a leak in the roof. And the area would be where the attic space is. So it's not leaking in their living room, but the attic space is getting wet. Nobody knows that that place is getting wet until it gets really worse. But you know what? When it's not attended to, when it's not brought to the attention and it's left, it can become a breeding ground for mold, causing a lot of damage, and that house can become a house where no one can ever live. God is speaking to our hearts today. Don't leave any area in your life unattended. Don't leave anything in your life that is not obvious. Don't say, oh, this is not a big issue. This is a non-issue. That non-issue can become life-threatening. Understand? Small sin is enough. Jesus said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Don't say, oh, I only have fear in this area, I don't have fear in the other area, so it's not as bad. And so I can live with it. No. Fear is not of God, fear is from the devil. Don't say, I have anxiety on this area, but I don't have anxiety on that area, so it's okay. Don't foster any kind of demonic emotional feelings which stems from demonic spirits. Don't say, I get angry at this person, not at everyone, so it's okay. Don't say, oh, once in a while I lust, it's not as bad as before. Don't allow any form of hidden sins or unchecked areas in your life which will eventually turn into a disastrous zone for you, taking you down without you even knowing. There are people who live in homes that have mold, have gotten serious health problems, not even knowing that this is what is causing. They go from one doctor to another, medication after medication, only to keep getting worse and worse and worse. You know why? The problem, the core problem was not fixed. God is speaking to our hearts today. Fix what you have to fix. Don't just go say, Lord, you fix me and you don't do anything about it. Don't say, oh Lord, I'm okay. The rest of the area is fine. What are the areas that are still leaking? What are the areas that are still not attended to? Think about those areas and write those down. Take it to God and say, Lord, work in my life. Work in my life, Lord. This temple of God should be thoroughly finished, should have no blemish. It's a place that God lives. It has to be a habitation for God. God is speaking to our hearts today. We will continue with Josiah another time when the Lord leads. But for today, God is speaking to us something very important. Very important. He was someone who gave priority to God and His Word. He was somebody who listened to counsel. He was somebody who was brought to a prominent position at a very young age. There were kings who were brought to a prominent position at a young age and really did abomination before God. But Josiah, as a young child, did that which was right in the sight of God. Therefore, God blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord led him to do certain things when he became the king. And his priority, according to God, was to fix the house of God, repair that which is broken. Your priority should be before the Lord is to fix that which is broken within you. Whatever it is, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whether it's immorality, whether it's anger, whether it's rage, whether it's self-pity, whether it's self-righteousness, whatever it may be, whether it's lying, cheating, you can say, I'm not doing like before. I'm much better. I'm doing it once in a while. The once in a while thing can kill you, says the Holy Spirit. Don't leave any crack, any leak unattended. Don't say, well, it's not a big hole in my roof. It's just a drop. Nobody sees that. That drop is enough to destroy the entire house if it's not fixed. God is speaking to your hearts today. How's your attitude when it comes to things of God? How's your attitude when it comes to obeying what God has told you to? How's your attitude? You know, sometimes some people are like, children will say, okay, I will do it. You asked me, I will do it. The attitude is sour. They will do it, but the attitude is sour. God is speaking to your hearts today. Check your attitude. Whatever you're doing, do it with the right attitude. Because it is God Almighty you're dealing with. He's not your subordinate. He is the Lord of hosts. So whatever you're doing, check your attitude. Tell yourself, Lord, whether it's my dealings with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my grandchildren, with my co-workers, with my superiors, with my subordinates, with strangers. Help me to represent you. Help me to represent you. Help me to have humility as my garment. Have my mind be clothed with humility. And help my actions, Lord, to be pleasing to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today from the life of King Josiah. Lord, you have appeared to every one of your people. That is the reason why we're all here. Grace has come to us, and we've come to you by your grace. You are doing a work of sanctification. Lord, as you're leading our church more and more into holiness, to take a close look at all the things that need to be fixed, I pray, help your people, Lord, to go to your presence and ask you to examine themselves. Examine their hearts. And in the light of your word, through the Holy Spirit, examine themselves, O Lord, to see where they stand before you. Father, whatever needs to be repaired, wherever there's a leak, I pray in the Holy Spirit, reveal it to your people, Lord, to lead them more into perfection, more towards glory. Thank you, Father. And the blessing of the Lord is guaranteed to people who take the things of God seriously. As God blessed Isaiah, God blessed Josiah, God blessed David, and many other kings. As they sought the Lord like Hezekiah, the hand of the Lord prospered them as far as they sought him, as long as they sought him. May we be people who will seek him with all our hearts, all through the days of our lives, that we may prosper before him and be a blessing to his kingdom. So I pray that you'll bless your people, Lord, this morning, as each one would go before you to truly check their attitude and check themselves before you so that you can catch all the areas that are leaking, even if it's the tiniest gap. We need you, Lord, to show it to us. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, so that we can be effective, even more effective, or remove everything that is causing us to be less effective in the kingdom of God. May we be a reflection of your beauty and a reflection of your glory. So bless our church, Lord. As a church, we pray. May we represent you accurately as a God of love, as a God of holiness, the God of justice, as a God of mercy, is a God who is coming back. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your people. Bless your people. Bless your people this day. Help them, Lord, to follow you faithfully till the very end. Let no one get discouraged, Father. I come against every spirit of discouragement in the name of Jesus. There are those, they know there are many areas that need to be fixed. I pray, help them to understand that you are there to help them fix it. You're there to do the miracle in their lives, that they don't have to feel burdened over all the areas, but they need to come to you regularly and obey you so that all the areas that need to be fixed may be fixed, oh God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Continue to cover us all under the blood of Jesus. May the hand of the Lord lead us. May the hand of the Lord guide us. May the hand of the Lord preserve us. May the hand of the Lord govern every part of our being, Lord. May the hand of the Lord glorify Jesus Christ in and through us. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.